I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to the National Obsession, a National League football podcast with me, Charlie Baker, and John Cadogan. And this is, let's just reiterate this, in no way a Torquay United podcast. If people are joining us from other National League teams,
yeah,
thinking, yeah, I want a broad reference to all the National League teams there are, and just to find out about all of them in a general way, this is the podcast for you, John.
Look, over the course of the next half an hour, you might have sort of reason to believe that this is the Torquay United podcast, but it's not. All right? And I'm sick of hearing about it. But on a related note, I'm just sending you a picture of what I'm wearing now.
What have you got on, John? Tell me what you're wearing. John, what are you wearing?
Here we go. It's coming to you now.
On a related note, here it comes.
Not a Torquay podcast.
A Torquay podcast. He's in the third kit from last season.
I certainly
beautiful
am.
Beautiful, John.
It's one of the worst pictures I've ever taken, but that's you get the...
It's lacking palm trees, though, John.
Isn't it?
Lacking the palm trees that seem to be the winning palm trees. We haven't lost in yellow. When I say we, I mean the team Torquay United. I don't mean we. One of the teams in the National League is Torquay United, John.
Just one of them.
That's one of them. And at random, they sometimes come up on this podcast, don't they?
It's going to happen eventually. We've got to talk about them all, and it's Torquay's turn.
It's definitely Torquay's turn. Hey, exciting week for me this week, John. Hey, I was thinking back, actually. You know, when we were last season, there were a couple of episodes where I was really poorly. Do you remember that? Where I was like, oh, I'm going to try and listen back to that.
Yeah, vaguely.
And I've got a strange foreboding. That was possibly me having the COVID, John.
Do you think?
I've not had the antibody test.
That's interesting.
This week, John, you know I'm a big cyclist. Did they ever tell you I did the Dartmoor Classic?
And Dave Thomas was one of the marshals, yes.
I've told you that story, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, anyway. Good old Dave. God, Dave really brightens up. I was by random. I chose a stream to watch this week. The last three streams I've watched by random have been Torquay United.
But you were watching it for Stockport, for Bromley,
Stockport,
for
Chesterfield,
You
know, I'm just picking teams all the way along.
Yeah.
They all seem to be playing Torquay United. I don't know why that is. Anyway, Dave Thomas needs to cheer up, didn't he?
He's had a bit of a mare so far. I like it when he was decrying people passing the ball. Weren't they passing it around there at the back?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't talk like that. Well, get it forward.
1962, yeah. John
Ernie
Chimp.
Ernie Pym wouldn't have done this.
They'd have just leathered it and then punched someone in the eye, and that would have been a goal.
I like the bit in the Stockport game where he was annoyed that goalkeepers weren't punching opposition strikers more. It was an odd moment.
I do agree with that. You've got to come and claim the ball. You're not watching the streams, though, are you, John? Because you think it's unlucky.
Well, we can come to this later we'll on if you like. But yes, I've...
Anyway, let me continue my brilliant anecdote.
Cycling.
I've bought, John, because it's winter coming in and I think we're going to get locked down again. And I've really got to shift this stomach. Once and for all, I've bought what they call a turbo trainer, John. It's like a rolling road. The back of your bike. It's a wheel.
Oh yes, I know the things.
You attach your back wheel to it.
Yeah,
and it's got a wheel on it, and it. But I bought a smart one which talks to your phone, and it tells you how many miles you've done, how much power you're putting into it. Absolutely brilliant. Anyway, you know I get this problem with my toe, John, now and again.
No.
You do know I get the Hallux limitus. I've told you about that.
You probably have. I think it's the
same thing that finished Gary Lineker's career. I think it's very similar.
Oh, okay. And that's where the similarities end.
It really is. I thought it was... You remember it? I thought it was gout. Long time listeners to the podcast will be able to tell you. Go back, John. I thought it was gout. It's not gout. It's Hallux limitus.
Right.
Anyway, it swapped feet because I bought new wellies and it swapped feet. And it's now on my right foot. Anyway, I've got this new... Where's that story going?
Where's that story going?
Anyway, flared up. It's flared up. I thought it had gone. I put on my bike shoes to clip into my new bike to do a good indoor training session, John.
Oh, yeah?
It's wrecked my feet for 2 weeks.
I've not been...
So actually, the last whole week, I've been sat with my feet up. With my feet up on...
Well, at least it's found a use.
And as I look at it now, there is a jacket hanging on the handlebars of my bike, which is pretty much how all those sort of exercise machines go. But I will be doing something called Zwift, John.
Ooh.
Which is exciting. But that's nothing to do with the National League.
No, it's not.
Is it? But although I did think I would like to do a tour on my bike of all the worst towns in Britain, which, as we've discussed, is... How they make up the National League.
Should we do that? Should we do a tour of all the National League grounds on the bike?
For charity, John.
Yeah,
when
or
are you
not.
Start? But, when yeah. are you gonna do it? Or not.
we could take the money.
Hey, an exciting week in the National League, John. And before you tell me the news, I know that Macclesfield definitely gone, aren't they? Which we knew anyway because of last week's National League insider.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the National League gets outside and might have been proving why he's outside and not inside with that one.
Yeah, he knew it, didn't he, Johnny? He told us all, didn't he?
I'm not sure he did. But yes, we'll come to Mac. Look, should we work out what's coming up on the podcast?
John, what's coming up in the podcast this week?
Well, this week, lots and lots of National League news. Again, I can't keep up with all these games. The National League. So many games. Saturday,
a
random
about our midfield.
Which one's thick? Actually, don't need to say. We all know.
But happy birthday to him.
But not a talkie podcast. Yes, a random game on Monday.
What was that?
It just suddenly cropped up.
I think it caught Wrexham out. Did you? I think they thought it was Tuesday. That's what happened there.
I think that's probably what happened. Yeah. I mean, I can't blame
them. It's Tuesday, isn't it? Oh God.
So lots of National League news. It should have been non-league day at the weekend because it's international break, isn't it? Poor old non-league rates, usually where, the non-league clubs... he comes into his own. The non-league clubs got to promote themselves. It didn't happen this year, but a friend of yours, a friend of mine, a friend of this podcast, the excellent, brilliant radio presenter Paul Hawksby.
Oh, yes.
Went to a non-league game. He's a Spurs fan usually, and he decided this weekend he was going to pop to a non-league game.
Slumming it, was he, John?
He went to Enfield v Leatherhead, and I had a quick, big interview with him this week to find out how his non-league experience was.
What league is that, John?
It's in the Isthmian somewhere. I find the Isthmian League a bit confusing. There's lots of different levels of it.
No one knows how to get in or out.
It's a wonder that the right clubs turn up in the right places. It's very confusing.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they all just turn up at random. Sometimes they haven't got a game. Nope, there's no one here.
So we're going to report on that. We're going to speak to... Again, I can't stress enough, it's not a talkie podcast. But... the legendary one and only Martin Gritton.
He's played for a lot of teams, John.
He's played for Stockport. Grimsby. He's played for Chesterfield.
Exactly.
Did he ever spell it Yeovil? I want to say he had a spell at Yeovil.
Probably.
Truro City. We have to ask him about Truro City.
Truro City was on.
Macclesfield. So we're going to chat to him about all things non-league. Just have a good old chinwag with Martin. And yeah, lots of your letters as well.
Oh, really? We've got some letters.
Got some letters.
That's always nice. We get that. Hey, just before we go, that's great. Great.
Doesn't that sound good?
Looking forward to it, John. It sounds excellent. Just before we go into the news, I just wanted to bring up the rule change I've come up with, which I know you...
I've written it down to talk about. So let's address that.
So this is how we rebalance the obvious plastic pitch.
The cheaty pitch problem. Yeah.
Sutton, Harrogate, Bromley. I know Harrogate are in the league now.
In much the same way as we've seen this week with the Premier League clubs, Project Big Picture, this is Project Big Cheaters that we're addressing.
Let's get rid of them. Right, and this is what it is. Home win, 2 points.
For the plastic pitches.
4 points.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't that a lovely idea, John?
Bromley, Sutton.
If they win by 4 goals or something, then they get the 3 points. So it makes them take a risk.
I mean, this was in no way cooked up when Bromley were winning 1-0 against Torquay on Saturday. Not in the slightest.
Not that we're a Torquay podcast, but no. We'll come back. I like that Gary said that Josh O'Meara was scared of the plastic pitch.
Yes, that was odd, wasn't it?
Which he was scared of it. It's like he'd had a bad dream about it as a child.
Yeah, that was very odd.
Where are we, John? Hey, it's time for some news.
Let's have some news. Let's go back to Saturday first because we've got a lot to get through. Boreham Wood 0, Halifax Town 0. Oh, God.
Although that's good, though. That's really good for it. That's good because I think Halifax are going to be up there. So that's a good score.
Yeah. Chesterfield 4, Woking 0. Cue the laughing policeman.
They've had a good start though, Woking John.
To be fair, yeah, they have. And they were sort of only losing 1-0 to the last few minutes. And then Chesterfield went mad and scored 3 goals in the last 5 minutes. So 4-0 to them on Saturday.
Yeah, that's good. Seeing as when the Torquay played Chesterfield, the Chesterfield manager just wanged on about how they don't play the full 90 minutes. He scored 3!
Eastleigh 1, Alchingham 1. Maidenhead... Yeah, the Spitfires. Maidenhead 0, Hartlepool 4. Hartlepool have got off to an amazing start. And
we've got them on the telly in a few weeks, John.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that at the moment, actually. They're looking rather good.
Gary Johnson's Yellow Army.
Maidenhead have one of their players scored an own goal, and I think he wins the award for the most Italian player of the week, Danilo De Domo.
I didn't know his actual name, is it?
Danilo De Domo?
Do you know his name? Yeah, it's Danilo De Domo. Write that down,
just
John.
Write down something vaguely Italian. Notts County 4, Barnet 2, so Barnet swept aside.
A lot of fours.
A lot of goals going in, really.
All the fours.
Speaking of which, Solly Holmore's 5, Kings Lynn 0. What the hell happened there on the weekend? That was unbelievable.
I told you, Kings Lynn... just going to struggle, John.
Well, you did say at the start that was going to be their only win of the season.
Has it been so far?
And, well...
should get the Grand Nationale on, I think, too.
You weren't wrong. And, yeah, Solly Holmore's also had Cranston playing for them. I don't know if it was Brian, but we'll try to find out on that.
The away coach. That's how they get all the money, John.
Yes.
Afford all those getting players for the cup run.
Camper van.
It's the crystal meth.
Gary Nee might come up a few times in this episode because he's been on fire recently. But he sent me a message regarding linking. I was going to scroll back through all his updates during the game last night. Just found out one of my golf playing partners tomorrow is Lynn Slynn. I don't know if she supports Kings Lynn, but I'm sure she's on LinkedIn.
He says he didn't know. We all know where he's met her.
Lynn Slynn, yeah.
Lynn Slynn.
Maybe she's Slim. Maybe she's from Kings
Lynn. Can I have a gin and Slim for Lynn Slynn? I've met her on LinkedIn and we're off to Kings Lynn.
Just last few from Saturday, Stockport 3, Dover 0, Weymouth 0, Sutton 1. The Sutton goal scorer is probably this week's poshest player of the week.
Okay.
Randall Hurren.
Lovely.
Very posh.
Great. I mean, other than I'm so pleased we played Stockport early, John, because they are absolutely murdering team.
They've really come out firing. Yeovil 0, Wrexham 1, Dagenham 1, Wealdstone 0 and Bromley 1, Torquay 2. That was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely win for Torquay there.
Lovely the yellows,
little last minister.
Rare 90th minute win.
We don't do that very often, do we?
We always lose in like the 88.
On to Monday. Maybe cue up the laughing policeman again here. Wrexham.
They forgot, John.
Wrexham 0, Maidenhead 1.
Well, he had 9 players, turned up with half an hour to go. He had a keeper playing in gardening gloves.
Can we got any gloves? Find him some gloves.
Who's got any gloves? Get him some gloves.
It was Maidenhead.
Shin pads. Stick some newspaper down you.
A couple of planks of wood to stick them down there.
Get on with it.
It was Maidenhead's first win of the season as well. It's very funny. Tuesday night, though, Barnet 1, Weymouth 0. Weymouth still yet to get a win this season. They are well and truly in Newton Abbott Football Club, I think. Probably, so far.
I'll tell you what, John. The bottom four... Well, it's not going to be bottom four, is it? It's going to be bottom three.
Mm.
Well, I'll tell you what. As there are the 8 teams that are more or less down there already. That's it. That's it. The season. May as well call the season now.
Yeah. It was Dover 0, Aldershot 5. Dover had de Havilland playing for them. Not sure if it was Olivia.
John, what's the Dover stream going to be like?
Probably, but I imagine, awful.
The dream.
Really bad.
To project the Dover match onto the White Cliff.
Well,
because the Bromley one was unbelievable.
Good, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Like a proper telly program, like multi-camera, good presenters, good commentators, all that sort of stuff. Really, really good. But, I mean, some clubs, I think, are going to get caught on the hop here.
Well,
it's going to be like someone doing a flick book.
Aldershot's the other week had the camera pointing the wrong way for one of their goals. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
All you could see in the corner of the shot was one of the players on the halfway line celebrating and the commentator, there's been a goal at the other end.
If I had to watch Aldershot every week, I'd point the camera the other way.
Ross McContract did get off the bench, by the way. Finally played four minutes at the end of the game. Halifax 1, Yeovil 1. Yeovil also winless so far. Bit of a surprise there. Hartlepool 0, Bromley 0. unbeaten start though, still for Hartlepool, top of the table. Kings Lynn 0, Boreham Woods 3. Misery for Kings Lynn there. And they actually had someone in goal called Mayor as well. He obviously had a bit of a mare on that particular
Tom
evening.
Tom Pierce, lend me your grey mare. Not a Talkie podcast.
No, and it's a fine bit of nominative determinism. Sutton 0, Notts County 1. 94th minute winner for Notts County. Bit unoriginal, I think, really. Bit unoriginal. Get your own act. God.
Exactly. They just saw us and that looks good fun.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Woking 2, Dagenham and Redbridge 0. Not bothered. Who cares? Not interesting. Although I did see our friend Napa scored, which was good.
What's brilliant, though, is Woking being up near the top is that you know they'll just bottle it. So it's good having them there, just there or thereabouts.
Just to lure them in. I'm actually more interested in the fact they've got a midfielder called Tommy Block. Was he great in the tackle? Tommy Block.
He's just Tommy from the block.
Put
Jenny from the block in there, John.
I put it right in there now. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block. Used to have a little, now I have. Who did he used to play for? Because that's key to the...
Yes,
used to play for...
Probably Concord Rangers. That's scans.
Used to play for Hibs. Now he's...
Hibs?
Yeah. Not it's great. Doesn't really work, does it?
Sounds like a made-up name in Rocky, doesn't it? Sounds like I gotta fight Tommy Block before I go for my big fight.
And Torquay to Chesterfield 1.
Boom! Chesterfield are a right bogey team as well, John.
Yeah,
we've never
done well against Chesterfield, have we?
Teams. I tell you what, it's our year. It's Torquay's year, John. I didn't say our year.
Well, again, I didn't watch it because I didn't watch Saturdays. And we won, so I didn't watch last night, but I was getting updates from Gammy Knee. So yeah, I got the sense. Well, it's worked so far, and yeah, I got the sense we were the better team. And he did message me at one point. And he said, how much was that? I said, it's £9. And then he logged on and said, do you have to pay £10 to get a view of the whole pitch?
Oh, doesn't he like a gantry, John? It's exciting when they knock it down the it's wing. Quite, and you don't know if it's in or out.
That bit below the camera where you can't quite see what's going on. And then suddenly a player appears just out of nowhere.
There we are. Is that all the news, John?
That's the news.
This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
You are listening to the National Obsession. And now, we haven't had one this season, John, but it's a thrill to have him on. It's the one and only Paul Hawksby, your colleague, my colleague.
And he went to a non-league game on the weekend, Enfield v Leatherhead.
Big Tottenham fan, isn't he, John?
Yep, TalkSport presenter. Writer for Harry Hill.
And he edited
the two
90
Ronnies. Edited 90 minutes. Shoot.
All sorts of stuff.
He's written Frankie Howard. Loads of,
Madam. Brilliant. And here he is on the big interview.
Did you enjoy your non-league experience? Well, yes, I did. It was my first for some time, actually. I used to go to Enfield when I was a kid. And those were in the days when they used to have re-election to the Football League, and the decision was really made by the club chairman based on the quality of your drinks cabinet. And Enfield's obviously wasn't up to scratch, because despite the fact they won the Isthmian League and they were there at the pinnacle of non-league football every season, they never got elected into the Football League, of course, until the year when it became automatic promotion and they didn't win it. And really from that point it never quite went well for them, but it was a great experience. All the sort of COVID protocols were managed very, very well by the club. We bought our tickets up front. It was a sellout. 350 people could go, and it was, say, all ticketed, and they all went. It was a good turnout, good atmosphere, little gaggle of Leatherhead fans behind the goal. Great to hear your every time a goalkeeper takes a kick. You don't tend to get that in the Premier League. That was quite old school. We could have a pint, and it was a fantastic experience, and it's made me realise that I should do it a little bit more often. If Enfield were your team on your only experience of football, do you think you'd have been in sports media for the last 30 years? That's a very good question. I don't see why not. I mean, quite a lot of what we do and what I've always done in magazines has kind of been gleaned from the top end. Maybe sort of taking the piss out of stuff in the Premier League and at that level, because that's the most obvious thing. So if I wasn't invested in a Premier League team, or as it was a First Division team in those days, who knows? Yeah, it could have been different. I'd have maybe a slightly more sort of parochial look, but I'd still have that outlook, whether I was talking about Enfield players or whether I was talking about Tottenham players. I'm sure the process is the same. I'm trying to think of people that are hardcore non... Well, Charlie Baker, of course, John Cadogan. Both men invested in this, doing fine work. So I'd like to think yes, but a very good question that I will dwell on after this conversation. Did you spot the next Jamie Vardy? Well, I'll tell you what, their Enfield's centre forward, whose name sadly I should have taken, but I believe his name is Billy, was excellent, very, very good player. And I discovered that he is the best paid apparently of all the players currently at the club, and I could see why. Was there anything about the day that your co-presenter and non-league sceptic Andy Jacobs would have enjoyed? It was a bit cold. We had a little bit of rain at one point. He wouldn't have liked that. He wouldn't have enjoyed the quality of the football, because he's a real football elitist. He's always said, I'm not going to go and watch Amdram if I can go to the West End and watch proper football. No, not a bit of it.
The National Obsession.
You are listening to the National Obsession, and it's, oh, what a thrill, John. I mean, we always get people on this podcast now and again, but never like absolute winners.
And we're not a talkie podcast.
We're not a talkie podcast in any way.
Which is why we got the former Grimsby, Plymouth Argyle.
How much time you got?
Chesterfield striker Martin Gritton. How are you, Martin?
Yes.
I'm great, John. I'm great. Great to speak to you both. Great to speak to you, Charlie. Yeah, great, delighted to be on. A good time to get me on, actually, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, like we say, we're not a talkie podcast. It just so happens that you've been to two out of the three of the last talkie games. So we thought it'd be worth sort of catching up with you, how you feel, Torquay United, just again, just a random National League club picked at random. How you think that they've done so far in the games you've seen?
Well, I've been very excited to watch them, actually. I mean, I think all of us were at... I bumped into you two at Sutton, which was the last game.
The last game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was pretty brutal. I mean, you know, for all the good that Torquay did that season, that was a strange way to end it. But I was really excited by the signings, excited just by the general energy around the club and the focus, you know, and going into this one. So, do you know what, Eastleigh, after the Stockport win, lovely, another one of my ex-clubs, but that's not narrowing it down. You know, great win. The momentum was taken into the Eastleigh game. Eastleigh, they were phenomenal. For the first hour, just unbelievable. But Eastleigh did it to Barnet at the weekend. They held them to one each and then scored four in the last few minutes. And they kind of sucker-punched Torquay a little bit. And I felt a bit sorry for them because Conor Lemonhay-Evans was best player on the pitch by head and shoulders. He ended up having to go off. Then Asa Hall came off. And then that really, as you boys know, that can really affect the tempo and the structure of Torquay's team. And then they kind of capitulated a little bit, which was a shame. Against Bromley. Bromley were massive. They were a bunch of kind of giant team fit strapping guys. And Torquay looked like little boys against them. And then, but obviously, then eased themselves into the game, found their feet and did the reverse of what Eastleigh did. Kind of suckered them in and picked them off at the end. And, I mean, just some really brilliant players to watch for Torquay at the minute. I thought Umero was brilliant. Danny Wright was brilliant up front against... Eastleigh. But then you look at Adam Randall. Adam Randall is just such an exciting talent. He reminded me of a young Aggie Russell, and there's no higher praise.
Oh, wow, wait.
Just absolutely commanding the tempo of the game. And then obviously Danny Wright keeping his composure to score a penalty after working so hard over the games that I've seen him play, you know, and then taking his chance when it was most important. So, and that's amongst a whole host of other great performances from the team.
That's interesting, actually. You say that Danny Wright and Josh Romero are doing really well, because I think there's been a bit of unrest. I know I've sort of gone not sure about this myself. I think it's because they're very different forwards to what we've had in the last couple of years. They are sort of a bit more. They're very un-Torquay. We've never had that sort of bruiser player up front, particularly. We had John Gale once, maybe Tim Sills. You know, Tim Sills isn't really a bruiser, but he's just tall. But we never have that sort of backing into players, bullying them. We never have that sort of player. And so what are they doing, Martin, that you can see as a professional and a brilliant eye on the game? What are they doing that we can't see as laymen?
Well, what I think is brilliant, I mean, you talk about bruises. I mean, there's been a couple. Lee Thorpe was an excellent bruiser for you boys back in the day, but he was at the end of his career. I mean, I played up front with Bayo and Leon Constantine, so the three of us up front, it's a knockout. Do you know what I mean?
Martin, were you there at the game when Bayo came back for Swansea and Danny Stevens had to mark him?
No, I mean,
marking
that's like
a corner.
That's like a WWE fight or something. That's outrageous. Well, you know, back to the point I had. I mean, we've had them over the years. But the most interesting thing was against Eastleigh, they pinned them. So Umera and Danny Wright pinned the centre halves in, so they couldn't come out. So basically, Eastleigh were camped in their own half, which means that the midfield gets to play further up the pitch. If you give Jake Andrews, you give Conor Lemonhay-Evans, you give those players that quality in the final third, which they had, and then you got the pace of Nemain was played really well.
Whitfield,
what an absolute little flyer down the left hand side. So to be honest, what it does is it creates this, it creates a space for the rest of the team to play. And now the problem is, big guys get tired. So as the game went on, you know, it became less effective. So there has to be a plan B. The plan B didn't quite work against Eastleigh, but I thought the plan was executed brilliantly against Bromley. And to be honest, the win against Chesterfield was the icing on the cake after this last 10 days, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's just talk about you, Martin, because you're a very nice chap. And I'm interested in why you had so many clubs. And I don't know if this is anywhere in the theory at all, right? You strike me as someone who turns up and brings positivity to a team, or immediately would walk into a dressing room, bring a bit of positivity, and you're a nice guy. Do you think that held you back, being a nice guy, because you became easy to drop?
Well, this is an interesting point. It depends who your manager is. Now, I would say that at key points in my career, I'm certainly not going to be a bleeding heart about it. I had to make some serious decisions. So the first one was at Torquay. Plymouth was the decision was made for me. I wasn't good enough, but Torquay gave me that chance, and But Leroy, I remember Leroy turning around to me. I hadn't scored for like 8 or 9 games, and I said, my head was low, and he turned around and went, well, we ain't got anyone else to put in, so you're going to play. It's not like we literally couldn't afford to bring in another striker. I ended up scoring like 8 or 9 goals in my next 10 games. Yeah. And it was that. But other clubs, I just didn't get given that opportunity to ride out the bad times. Also, when I played for teams that were top of the league, was at Lincoln, we were top of the league and flying. I'm just surplus to requirements. I'm like, you're not going to have a spare target man lying around your bench. I'm better off. So then I'd go to Mansfield, bottom of the league. We'd get them up to mid-table. Then I'd go to Macclesfield, do well there. Move to Chesterfield, who is near the top of the team because they bought me, not because I was rejected. And then what happens is, well, Chesterfield think they're probably better than they are. So they're like, well, we'll get in a couple of guys from higher division. Grits can be a spare. And I'm like, well, I'm not a great spare to have because you've got to keep me tuned and playing matches. So then I have to go out again. The other bottom line, Charlie, is it comes down to money. So as a player, you go, well, how do I prolong my career and keep earning the best I can? And it's staying at the highest level. So sometimes I had to compromise. Sometimes I had to say, well, look, to stay in the league, I'm just going to have to shut up and suck it up for a season and then wait for my chance. If I dropped down and played for, had opportunities in the conference, I could go down and play 5 or 6 seasons, maybe for the same team in the conference, but it would be, the risk is always, well, when does the money run out or when does that manager not fancy you? So yeah. it's just a game of cat and mouse. And do you know what? The niceness is quite funny because managers who are nasty b****s, excuse the swearers.
Now,
managers who are nasty b****s took an instant dislike because I had a very laissez-faire attitude towards things, Charlie, and that can rub people up the wrong way. Managers
also, you're quite clever, aren't you? You're clever though as well, Martin. And a lot of people won't have liked that.
Well,
because it's like you're cleverer than them. So they've almost got to knock that out of you.
If ever John Sheridan happens to be one of your managers, don't take a Guardian onto the team bus, all right? Because that does not go down well. I remember walking on and Ruben Hazel saying to me, and I was at Torquay, all of our away trips were 6-7 hours. I was like, of course I need a broadsheet. He was like, Guardian? He was like, who do you think you are? I'm like, it's a newspaper. It's not Dostoevsky. Do you know what I mean? You have these constant kind of give and takes.
I do like the idea that Gary Johnson reads War and Peace on the team.
He'd go, War and Peace. I tried to sign him. What makes, like when you've played, you've been in champion winning teams and you've been in bottom division teams, and you must look at the National League now and League Two now. What makes the difference? I always think, this is my theory, is that you need 3 players playing below themselves. Basically, you need 3 players playing a division below themselves, and you need a couple of players who are out, who absolutely need it. Absolutely, without it, they're sort of nothing, And then that gives you that momentum to take the team. Is that about right?
Yeah, I'd say that's absolutely right. And I think what you do is those players that do make the difference are the ones that set the tone. So if they're disaffected, then the changing room's coming in a hump every day, then it affects the rest of the team. But if you get everyone buying into it, and I'll talk about Yeovil were a perfect example of that. You'd have players coming. Yeovil, it's easier getting to Torquay than it is getting to Yeovil. Do you know what I mean? It's like Narnia.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible. It's just, it's a pain in the arse. But
no one's ever actually been there.
Exactly. You've been to Glastonbury, but just not Yeovil. But getting players to a club like Yeovil, you have to want to go there. Do you know what I mean? So if you're on loan from Bristol City or if you're on loan from a London club, it's a couple hours away it means that you're just like, right, we're in this together. And I always thought Yeovil had that sort of mentality as a club. Torquay was the same because, it was a long way to get players down from London when Leroy was bringing them down, but you get them all buying in. If you get your top players buying in, keep David Graham happy, keep Alex Russell happy, and you're going to win more matches than you lose.
That season as well, we had Liam, didn't we? Liam Rossini.
Oh, wow.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And I was at his first game, and he played about 60 minutes, 70 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely broken by the end of it because he hadn't played in 6 months or whatever. He was a young kid as well, wasn't he? What was he, 17, 18?
He was.
And he turned up, and he just absolutely different level. Grits, This has been absolutely brilliant. We'd love to have you back on at some point. I think you should give us regular talkie updates. And whenever we've got technical questions for you, which you answered so brilliant earlier on. Like, why do you think they're good? I think they're rubbish. No, this is why they're good. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. So we'd love to have it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris. It's been brilliant.
Absolute pleasure, gents. I'm covering another couple of games for Torquay soon, so yeah, keep an ear out, and I'll be happy to come back on.
And Charlie, did you not think he sounded a lot more flexible this evening? I don't know if it's because of the yoga he's been doing. I just think he sounded a lot more
Keeping himself. He's got to keep those knees going. He's got another 5 seasons in him. He's got another 6 moves in him. Yet.
Yeah? Namaste, lads. Namaste.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks.
Cheers, lads.
Bye bye.
The National Obsession.
You are listening to The National Obsession with me, Charlie Baker, and John Cadogan, and it's time for Letters from a Listener. When you go, will you send back a letter from a listener?
Lovely.
Who knows, John?
Lovely.
We'll find out, won't we?
It sounded crisp to me.
Oh, crisp audio, crisp and clear. Any letters, John?
We have got several letters, yes.
No, several, John. Yeah. I had an argument with someone once about how many several was. Was it you?
It was me, yes. It was me.
In your mind, several is two, or no, three, I think you thought was several. Several is more than three.
Yeah, it was quite unseemly. We have an email here from Stephen Baker. Any relation?
No relation. Just all my relations write into this show.
Well, one of mine has, but I don't think I'm going to bother reading it out. I think we'll just leave that on. Leave that to one side.
Show, I called it then, John.
You did call it a show. That used to be a controversy as well. We've actually spoken to Stephen before. I'll just read out his email. On the ice, gents, brilliant to hear you back for the new season. As your self-appointed Halesowen Town FA Trophy correspondent,
yes.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Halesowen's brilliant FA Trophy run. FA Trophy. Well, he says, because it's now resumed, it gives me no pleasure in informing you that Halesowen Town were knocked out in the semi-final stage against Concord Rangers a couple of weeks back following some heroic performances from the Yelts boys. That was their nickname. Do you remember the Yelts?
The Yelts. Come on, you Yelts.
Hopefully you'll join me in fully getting behind National League South side Concord in the final against the team who abandoned the National League system last season, Harrogate Town. So Harrogate are coming back for one game only
Swanning back in, like someone who's left a small town like Newton Abbott and moved to the big city and made a go of himself.
And then coming back, acting the big I am.
Into the cider bar and going, who wants a drink? Get everything you want.
Slamming.
Have you ever seen a £50 note before? These are called jeans.
So we're fully behind Concord Rangers.
You weren't there, John, and I always go on about it.
I miss that one.
The away day at Concord Rangers last year was absolutely brilliant, and that is, of course, the where it happened. There's Dave Thomas spending his Netflix money.
Yeah, that was it.
When is that? Did he tell us when it is, Steve? We need more information.
Could look it up. Not
on the ice, you, Steve. Is Steve a foff, John?
He's not, but I feel like he should
be. Hey, let's get in there. We're crowning foffs this week. Chugunk, foff number. I'm going to go 39.
Is this a good time to tell you that I haven't updated my spreadsheet from last week yet?
God. John.
I don't know.
It's like you don't care about this podcast.
We gave out two. Oh, no, I have. There we Chugunk. Go. Rich Mills, Ian Churchwood, 36, 37.
Pod. Foff number 37. Chugunk. Steve Baker. Brilliant.
Stephen Baker going in there. There he is. I put Banker Stephen Banker.
Stephen Banker. Great. That's a great start. Any other letters, John?
Yes, we've got one other letter to bring you. Mark Ridley, Foff 33, who also emailed us last week as well.
One other letter, John?
Yeah.
You said we had several letters. This is the second letter.
Well, I was going to read out my brother's one and I'm not going to.
Yes, go on.
Mark Ridley says, dear fellow anglers, together with a friend, I'm not an angler, by the way, together with a friend, we decided to take in Saturday's game at Winchester, home to Jeff Stelling and King Alfred.
Winchester Town, what are they? The bells? The cathedrals?
Do you remember we played them in the FA Cup
and they were
knobs? We gave them a signed ball and they booted it out of their minibus on the way home. Get stuffed.
Get stuffed. Winchester. What? Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Anyway, yes, says home to Jesseling and King Alfred. We did ponder how Jeff would get on presenting Soccer Saturday in the times of King Alfred. There's been a goal at the Diva Victrix Amphitheatre, but which way has it gone, John Gwynn?
I didn't see it, Jeff. I had an arrow in my eye. Oh, no, that wasn't King Alfred, was it? That's all the letters, is it, John?
That's it, yeah.
Couple of great letters there. Thanks so much for getting in touch on the ice to you. Do get in touch with us at NatObsPod on the Twitter.
Or nationalobsession@gmail.com.
That's it for another week, John. Episode 114.
There we are.
Absolutely brilliant. May the Torquay United continue to win in the 92nd minute for the rest of our lives. All those years of losing in the 88th minute, the chickens, the gulls are coming home to roost. That's what it is. That's it from the National Obsession. On the ice to you.
On the ice.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.